Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Turncoat Tuesday, people. It's the 29th day of August, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in star six to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 72 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 89 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's just dank, people. I'm kid you not, man. This is the worst the smoke has ever been. We have that North Pelican fire over there. And, you know, I got up this morning. I mean, you can't breathe. In the house, you can't goddamn breathe. You go outside, and, I mean, it burn in your eyes. And, you know, I looked up the fire. I was like, goddamn, are they getting a handle on this or whatever? And, apparently, they're just going to let this son of a bitch burn. They're talking about having it contained in the middle of October 15th. So, I mean, we're looking at not breathing for, you know, quite a while. I got the map out and tried to look where in the hell could a person drive to get out of this shit. And, I mean, there's a wall of goddamn fires from where I'm at, north and south. I mean, just a wall of it to the west. And that's where all the smoke is coming from. And then, you know, even out to the coast on the Chetco River, there's goddamn... there's a big fire there. I mean, you're looking at a clear up by Coos Bay before you could even get a breath of fresh air. So then I went and looked online, you know, I said, God damn, I got to do something here. And I'm looking for, you know, one of these air cleaner thingers that go in your house. Oh, the cheap, you know, cheap, $100, man, for one that'll just do a small room. So I guess if you're, unless you're rich, you're going to be breathing smoke for until the middle of October. That's when they say they're going to get it contained. I mean, no boride bombers. They're not trying to put these fires out. And this is burning up in a wilderness area. So, I guess there'll be a lot of timber salvaging going on. A good masons will get their pockets filled with money and the rest of us can just suck smoke. Anyway, enough of that. Let's see what we have on the itinerary for today. Activists argue sanctuary status makes Illinois a safe place for criminals. I would think that Illinois, Chicago in particular, would be the ultimate safe place for a criminal. Well, anyway, we'll get into this as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Go to his head, his wife's aggravation, you soon end up dead. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. Shady looking loser, you played with my gun. No smooth face, a lawyer could get you undone. Say love. Satan on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then. Activists argues sanctuary status makes Illinois a safe place for criminals. Well, duh. This is from Chicago City Wire. As of Monday, when Governor Bruce Rauner, I guess it is, signed Senate Bill 31 into law, police in Illinois may not detain, arrest, or even search a person based on immigration status. And because it's their country, you see, they're just telling you straight up, this is a goddamn reoccupation. I mean, a recolonization of this country, and that's just the way it is. You're going to take it? For one man in Chicago who lost his brother at the hands of an illegal immigrant, the enactment is a tough pill to swallow. Dennis McCann was killed by a drunken driver in 2011, according to the Twin Cities Pioneer Press. The driver, Saul Chavez, was arrested but eventually released on bail. He then fled to Mexico, according to the paper. Oh, we talk a lot about the Bundys and people being held up there who never harmed anyone. But this son of a bitch from Mexico, he kills somebody. And he's here drunk, can't speak the language, can't read a road sign, kills somebody in a car. There's a bail for him. And when he gets out on bail, he's not a flight risk because he's from Mexico, and he goes straight down to Mexico. This is the hypocrisy. This is the bullshit of them giving, you know, pretending that they care what happens to you and that they care about anything but their own greedy selves. Brian McCain wanted Rauner to veto Senate Bill 31. It is the dumbest bill imaginable, McCain told Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on Chicago's Morning Answer radio show. It's going to make Chicago a magnet for illegal aliens. Hell, the whole country is, isn't it? They will be coming here in droves. Proft is a principal of local government information. Okay, services, which owns his publication, McCann argued that all of Illinois now becomes a safe haven for criminals. It's the United States. I mean, it's not just sugar. I mean, you think about what we were talking about a few weeks ago. No, up here in Portland, maybe a month ago. But the guy, he's already been deported 20 times. And then he rapes a woman and goes down and they catch him at the border. Well, they just put him across the border. I mean, he's got raped a woman up in Portland. Comes right back across the border, straight up to Portland, sanctuary city. And, rapes another woman. And when they finally catch him, he's got a knife, fixing to rape another one. But I'm telling you what, people, he'll be out on bail. He can go back down to Mexico. This whole thing is to destroy us and kill us. You think they're going to dissuade or discourage the killers by bringing any of them to justice? They want them to know that they can come up here and rape, murder, pillage, kill. And, when the scene gets a little further down the line, they'll be putting uniforms on these very fine, upstanding new citizens, don't you know? McCann argued that all of Illinois now becomes a safe haven for criminals. The whole country, it will be a magnet for the criminal alien. He said, if I'm a criminal alien, I'm coming here. And I'm going to go hide out in Polk County and Southern Illinois. Or you could come to Portland, Oregon. They love rapists and murderers. As long as you're, raping and murdering people, you're welcome here. You're what we're after. McCann became an activist after his brother's death. He and others, people who have lost, I mean, it should be other people, but it's others. I don't know. Should it be that you people should, I mean, this is from the Chicago City Wire. This is the best you got? You know what a punctuation mark is? Or do you need, Why? He and other people who have lost loved ones at the hands of illegal immigrants have formed an organization called Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime. McCann said he expects similar legislation to be passed in other states, but his organization will not give up. Oh, that's it. You just keep playing in their rigged, crooked system. Oh, we're going to get a win here any day now. That stacked deck of cards is going to be stacked for me tomorrow. We're losing a lot of battles right now, but hopefully down the road we'll win a few, McCann said. Senate Bill 1 creates the Illinois Trust Act, which says law enforcement shall not detain any individually solely on the basis of any immigration detainer and solely on the basis that he has committed a crime coming to this goddamn country, that he commits a crime every day that he's here, that if he is sucking off the social services, he's committing felonies daily, he's probably got, already stolen somebody's social security number, but don't you touch them. This is what they want here, people. This is how you take the grade A society on planet Earth and bring it down to the goddamn gutter. And I love this part here. The Trust Act, which says law enforcement shall not detain any individual solely on the basis of immigration detainer or an administrative warrant. That's all in the hell they put out anymore is administrative warrants. That's saying if they got a goddamn warrant, any goddamn warrant, they just got to let them go. Why? Because they're a legal alien. You're sitting there with an administrative warrant. You know, that's what a bench warrant is an administrative warrant. They don't put out a real warrant anymore, not a constitutionally recognized under the Bill of Rights warrant, under the Fourth Article warrant. They're all administrative warrants because they're operating under administrative jurisdiction, which is an extension of the admiralty. So what they're saying here is this son of a bitch could have a federal warrant because a federal warrant is a goddamn administrative warrant for murder. Well, we can't pick him up because, well, it's an administrative warrant. I mean, when I seen that, I was just like, Jesus, they're telling these people to come here and do whatever they want to do with impunity. It goes on to say that law enforcement doesn't have to comply with an immigration detainer or administrative warrant after the individual becomes eligible for release from custody. They're talking about an arrest warrant for them at the federal level. But I'm telling you, the way this is written, an administrative warrant, that's all there is. That's the only warrants there are anymore. Well, if it ain't administrative, I'd like to know what the hell it is. After melees, Berkeley mayor asked Cal to cancel right-wing free speech week. This is from San Francisco Chronicle. It was sent in by Paul for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. In the aftermath of a right-wing rally Sunday that ended with anarchists chasing attendees from a downtown park, Berkeley mayor Jesse Aragon argued UC Berkeley... or urged UC Berkeley on Monday to cancel conservative plans for a free speech week next month to avoid making the city the center of more violent unrest. And I mean, I've been watching this shit going on at Berkeley. Now, I'm telling you what, people, they'll beat the hell out of you. Well, you didn't answer that officer's question correctly. Are you lied to the officer so they stomped your ass in the ground? Or you're somebody like Kelly Thomas and they just were irritated so they beat your ass to death. But these communists... Now, these communists can come out, wreak havoc, burn down, bust windows, do any goddamn thing they want. And, it's like the police. Well, there's nothing really. It's an administrative thing. There's nothing really they can do about it, don't you know? They come out masked. They come out attacking with clubs. Let's go on a little bit here. I don't want Berkeley being used as a punching bag, said Aragon, whose city has been the site of several showdowns this year between, on the one hand, the left and its fringe anarchist wing, and on the other, supporters of President Trump, who at times have included white nationalists. I love the way they try to put that mix in there. I mean, time to choose a side again, people? I mean, time to push this bullshit? But I mean, supporters at times have included white nationalists, really. I am concerned about these groups using large protests to create mayhem, Aragon said. It's something we have seen in Oakland and Berkeley. The mayor wants U.S. Berkeley to halt plans by a conservative campus group, the Berkeley Patriot, to host right-wing provocative Milo Yiannopoulos is what it... God damn, that's a hell of a name. During its scheduled free speech week from September 24th through the 27th, Berkeley's right versus left cage matches began with an appearance that Yiannopoulos was to have made in February at a campus hall, an event that was aborted when black-clad anarchists like those who broke up Sunday's downtown rally stormed into, I mean, these son of a bitches, this is lawlessness. I don't care if somebody is having, and I don't care if it's neo-Nazis, but, you know, I'm not going to join either side of this. I'm just an observer from afar, but, hey, man, have these people come in, they're telling you, we're going to be communists, you're going to be communists, or we're going to kill you. We'll beat you out of our streets. I mean, I don't know, people, how long would you play? I wouldn't play that game for not one round. I would show up, I mean, I'll tell you what, I'd bring five guys in there, and all of these tough son of a bitches, I'd five guys with shotguns, and I mean, I'm talking about Segas with 20-round clips in them, semi-automatic. Yeah, I think they make a 20-round clip for those, or maybe a 10, it don't matter. I'd have extra clips, and I'll tell you what, and it wouldn't be nothing more than number two shot, you know, that's what you use for hunting geese. And I tell you what, man, those son of a bitches, I mean, I'd take every one of them out. I'd scatter them. I'd leave them laying bloody all over the goddamn place. If I wanted to go down there, I never would. I mean, I'm not going to march. I'm not going to wave no signs. I'm past that. But, you know, just the thought, I mean, they're trying, what's getting me, I guess, guys, is they're trying to portray these as some kind of badasses. I heard them talking about it on the mainstream stupid box earlier today. And they were talking about they're bringing these inner city gang members in and paying them to come in and you know, hunt people down and beat them and, commit assault on them and stomp people out of the streets and tell you, we have you outnumbered and there's more of us and we're going to clear the streets. I don't give a shit if there are more of you. What happens when we just, somebody like me, you know, you piss off and I'm not talking about these people that go out and wave their goddamn sign, these trumpets or any of these goofy asses or white nationalists or any of this shit. I'm talking about regular folk. I'll tell you what, I'll come down to the five guys and I'll clear every goddamn one of you out. I will kill you dead. I will pump shotgun rounds in you so fucking fast you won't even know. You make your head swim. I don't know. I mean, the bottom line is, the idea here is if every time that you see the people try, I mean, this is the communists. This shows that the communists have taken over key positions during the Obama administration. And they're holding those positions. Because the thing is, the cops, I mean, the cops are the communists. That's what you're talking about here. And these stupid-ass people keep putting together these rallies, which, like I said, they're just the other side of the coin. They're the other camp they want you to go into so that 75% of us who don't want none of this shit can kill each other. But they, you know, the idea here is it's like the rally there in Charlottesville. You know, of course they're going to bring in the white nationalists. Like, these guys sit down, like I said, you know, when this first was happening. When they, you know, they had the hire thing in Craigslist there in North Carolina. And the people all showed up, a big room full of people. And they said, well, we've got a pile of uniforms. Or you guys split yourself into two groups here. Got a pile of uniforms over there. You guys are white Nazis this week, okay? And you guys over here, you're black communist or whatever in the hell. I mean, Antifa, anti fascist communist people, okay? You guys get your uniforms on, there's your bats. You guys go out and you poke at each other until you get the other ones going at each other. That's what your job is. And we're paying you like $25 an hour. People, I mean, and they're getting a whole day's wages for doing this shit. And now they're talking about they're bringing these inner city black gang members in to beat on people. But, and then, of course, you know, these people, what you see in the mainstream media is, well, the police need, why ain't the police, but the police aren't stepping up because, well, they're the communists too. They were a part of it. Now, if we went down there with our shotguns now, like we said, this is, you have lost it. This is force majeure. You have lost. There is no law. The law has failed. We're going down here and cleaning this mess up. Now, we went down there, and there's no denying that these son of a bitches just come out just going, animal on the goddamn streets, breaking windows, burning things down, beating on people. And when it gets to that point, by God, you got a right to defend yourself. But if you went down there, I'm telling you, if I did take five guys down there to clean this goddamn mess up, and we went out there and we started doing, I'll tell you who'd be our opposition. It would be the good old police, you know, who aren't doing who aren't keeping the peace, because they're not peace officers. They are actually a standing army for the communists. But I mean, that's what we talked about it before. If you went down to the goddamn border, I mean, they're still pouring across. I mean, they can play this propaganda game with us, you know, with Trump coming up and the arrests are down so far on the border, and this is just a great big old goddamn, we got this thing under control, when we know better, because it's like 40 4,000 or what? No, somebody come up and said it was like 24,000 or something that would have to leave a day for you to, if you were really going to do this. And it's just not happened. You're not as getting as many out in a day as it's coming in, right? You know, right across the border, as you're putting the other ones out. You're not making a dent in it. It's all just a show. It's a show, and he's already working on the next election where he can come up and say, I'm going to get him out of here. Yeah. And a few people can buy that. But if you went down there and you went to say, hey, you know what? This is a goddamn invasion of my country. I'm driving these sons of a bitch and foreigners out of my goddamn country. I'll tell you who peace officers, they want to call themselves peace officers, the ones that are posing as police in this country, the police that can't exist. I'll tell you who their guns would be pointed at. They'd be pointed at you. And before this whole thing is over, we're going to have to fight them. We're going to have to put those son of a bitches down. We're going to have to make it so, you know what? Is that paycheck worth it? You're going out. I mean, 10 of you are going out. 3 of you are coming back. Is that paycheck worth it? And I'll tell you what, real quick, that paycheck ain't going to be worth it. But by the time it reaches that point, then you're going to have, the police state's going to be well entrenched, okay? But when the worm turns and the guns start going off and it's pushed to that point, that's when you're going to see the United Nations peacekeeping troops coming in, because actually Trump, he is a world communist, and the world has a right to see peace and to see people from all over the country protected from the American people who are trying to preserve their culture and their life. It's just like what happened in Kosovo. It's what's happened around the goddamn world. They come in and take the former Soviet Union, you know, come in this big, powerful empire, and then they force people intentionally of different cultures together, and then they, you know, shove the one culture down the other, you know, who would have been dominant there before the forced multiculturalism, and they have these people, they put them as superior right over them, and they know that in the real scheme of things, in the jungle, they would not be superior of right, they would be beneath them because they're badder-ass people. But then, after they've done this and agitated for about 2 or 3 generations, then they back out. And then there's the people that have been oppressed and put upon for all them years. They come out and they just start slaughtering the son of a bitches who have been riding roughshod over them without having what it took to run roughshod over them, without a central government pointing guns at them. And then when you start wiping, it's ethnic cleansing. And then, it's just one big game. And in the end, nobody knows what belongs to who. And that's really what the whole game is about. It's about stealing everything that we have in these United States and coming out the other end with your skin. And they've done a whole hell of a lot of stealing. And anybody who thinks that, like, the Trumpy's going to save you anything, you got to understand, he is on the other side of that goddamn fence, firmly on the other side of that goddamn fence. He has to see you in that ditch with that 40 caliber bullet through your head, or he can't sleep at night, because sooner or later it's going to come around to him, because he's done his share of stealing too. And I mean, he's sitting up there with Mnuchin and Jared Kushner and all, I mean, his kosher cabinet up there with his kosher son-in-law, the people who have been eating out our substance and trading our blood for wealth in the Middle East for them and not for us even. Remember when we went into Iraq, all the free oil we were going to get. We're going to get it. Hell, everybody's going to have free gas, man. This is a good deal for us. They got over there. And who were they killing those Iraqis for? It wasn't for us. They were killing them for those goddamn Israelis, because they built the pipeline straight to Israel. So all that goddamn Iraqi crude could go straight to them. And it was theirs, because everything does belong to them. And we all know that. Where were we in this thing? Okay. Oh, the mayor wants UC Berkeley to halt plans by a conservative campus group, the Berkeley Patriot, to host right wing. That's what we were talking about, the provocateur. Milo Yiannopoulos. Wow, what a name, huh? Okay, Yiannopoulos was to have Berkeley's right versus left cage matches. That's where we began. And with an appearance by Yiannopoulos that he was to have made in February at a campus hall, an event that was aborted when black clad anarchists. I mean, they're telling you, these guys are completely lawless. They're coming out. They're just saying that they're not going to. I mean, I don't give a shit for either side of this phony ass argument, but they're just going to say there is no argument. We're communists. We've taken over. And we'll beat you out. I've talked about beating the communists out of the street. They're telling you they're going to beat you out of the street. But then again, I can't get involved. I mean, the real people who would actually deal with those communists in a harsh way, we're stepping back. I mean, I'm not going down there and wave signs and, you know, try to hit them and tap them, and whether they're tapping me and maybe somebody, throw a Molotov cocktail or some kind of goofy shit like that. When it comes time to take care of the business, we ain't going to play no goddamn games. When you hear a pop, somebody's going to drop dead every frickin' shot. It ain't going to be boom to boom and gas canisters and yelling and flipping people off and women wrestling in the goddamn streets. It's just going to be boom to boom, and it ain't them people in the goddamn streets either. It's the son of a bitches that sent them there. You go and you start chopping at the tail of that snake, and the head will eat you alive while you're trying to get to chop the tail off. You chop the goddamn head off, and that snake dies. And that's what needs to be done here. This isn't by accident. George Soros is financing these so-called, what do they call them here, black-clad anarchists, like those who broke up Sunday's downtown rallies, stormed into Spurl Plaza, smashed windows, and set bonfires. What would happen to you and me if we smashed some windows and set a fucking bonfire? What would happen to us? You know what happened to them? Nothing. Because they are a part of the communism and the cops are a part of. We've said it all along. That, you know, they all shit through the same hole. But they're going to pretend, but you go and you try to deal with those communists that they're letting run amok, that they're letting burn your stores down, that they're letting break your windows. You go and try and deal with them, they'll shoot your ass because they're there to protect the inner center street gangs members who are being paid by George Soros to try and, terror, to enact terror on you. Isn't that what they, if you and I did this, they would call you what, a terrorist, do you think? Because I do. I think it absolute. Trump himself denounced UC Berkeley in a tweet the next day, and his supporters have since made a point of bringing their fight to the famously liberal college town in bullshit. Trump is a goddamn... This shit, if he wanted it to stop, people, listen to me. The man is a dictator in this country right now. Under the War Powers Act, he sent federal troops in there and put this shit down in about a hot second. But then that would show, then the communists would go, fascism, look, we told you, see, fascism, it is a military dictatorship. Well, duh, and you operated under it too. That's how you instilled communism in this goddamn country. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com. We'll be right back.
with the NSA. And God, we trust all the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:37 Pacific Time. That was Edge of Revolution by Nickelback we were listening to there. Way past the edge, people. Jesus, to take as much shit as we have and just a handful of people being able to hold everything back, man. I don't get it. You know, I was listening to Mark again this morning. He came out with that, you know, talking about that invocation of the word of Jesus Christ, making people's eyes bug out and run away from them. And the Constitution, Bill of Rights, it just can't do that. Well, I'm here to tell you, well, yeah, it can. I've watched it do it. I have invoked my rights knowing what I'm talking about. And I've watched that man in the dress jump up from that goddamn bench, grab his skirt, and take off at a fast walk on the edge of a run, what would have been a run, except he only had 10 feet to get through the door. I have seen cops turn on a heel. When you understand your rights and you're willing to enforce them, they have absolute power. And this is going to be about the Bill of Rights. Screw the Constitution. You know what? I can write a better contract than that on my worst goddamn day. I would have them son of a bitches held down to the letter of the law. I'd want to hear, it's always Constitution Bill. You're getting around Constitution Bill. Screw that Constitution. That's what allowed the Masonic dirty church cabal to take control in the beginning. The same son of a bitches that had control in the colonies. That Bill of Rights is what we fight under. And I mean, it's a powerful tool. Well, it's a powerful tool. Your faith is a powerful tool to you as an individual, as a soldier. Man, more power to you. But this war is about the Bill of Rights. That is what has been removed. That is why this is the misery. And that Constitution, that flawed, grossly flawed contract is what led to it. And the people who adhered to it, I'm sure that the people in the good Christians out there, I'm not talking about the good Christian. I'm talking about the 501c3 Christians, the Christians who wanted power over their fellow man in this country. You know, David was talking a little bit about this yesterday, talking about this Christian nation. You know, a white Christian nation. There was no other people here. There wasn't a whole population here when the Europeans arrived. It was a right Christian nation from the time the first white Christian stepped foot on the goddamn beach, I suppose. The bottom line is that Bill of Rights was put in place to keep us all free, so that we could enjoy a life of liberty and prosperity in the country that we conquered. And it was usurped from the get-go by the dirty church, the people who wanted something else. They wanted to rule over their fellow man. Well, this time around, there's 75% of us that say, no fucking way. It ain't going to happen. Give up on it. Step up for the Bill of Rights and the Bill of Rights only. After you get that Bill of Rights, you're free to believe and live your life as you please. But you don't get to tell me how to live mine. That's the only flaw in it, ain't it? You're not going to tell me how to live. I won't let these son of a bitches, and I won't let you. Oh man, here's some. Yeah, we got a couple here we were going to hit. This is what we were talking kind of about yesterday. But I mean, this is the mentality, and this is what this great nation without the common law and stuff. You know, price gouging during Hurricane Harvey. Up to $99 for a case of water, a Texas AG says, and one commenter came up on this, on one of these articles. I got two of them here. And they were talking about, you know, under the common law, you know, you could charge what you want. Well, you know, to a point you're right, but you know what? Under the common law, you wouldn't get away with this. I mean, if somebody's coming out of the desert, you got somebody in a bad position, you need something like water to live. And you try doing this, you could say, you're going to give me your whole pile of gold for this cup of water. And you know the person would do it if they were thirsty enough. But then again, when they went down and they filed it at the common law for your extortion of their property, your seizure through a situation of their property. And I'll tell you what, you could get to 12 people up there and see, we'll see who among those 12 people agree that $99 for a case of water was just because of the situation. Now, you know, when this eclipse thing was going down, just right down the road here, I mean, this isn't even a full eclipse here, but they were charging like $100 for people to go, you know, to park out in this little lot out back of this place, I guess, to watch the goddamn sun. And you know what? That would be all right, because that was a choice. You know, it was a luxury. But when you start talking about, you know, people surviving, and you try some shit like this, man, I'll tell you what, the common law eat you alive. This is from CNBC, let's see, 99 cents for water, Texas AG says. This is from CNBC. It was sent in by Mark Schumacher for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. There have already been more than 500 complaints about price gouging during Hurricane Harvey over the weekend, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton told CNBC on Monday. That includes reports of up to $99 for a case of water, hotels that are tripling or quadrupling their prices, and fuel going for $4 to $10 a gallon, he said in an interview with Closing Bell. And, you know, again, you hit the point of force majeure. This isn't just plain commerce like we were talking about with the eclipse where, yeah, you want to sit in my back here and watch the sun? I'm charging $100. There's no necessity for you being here. I mean, this isn't an emergency situation, and things do change. In an emergency situation, you go into force majeure. I mean, you stand there and you tell me 99 cents for a case of water, And I need that water to live. I'll take that goddamn water from you, and I'll win in that common law court. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do this shit. I mean, here's your capitalism for you. you know, usury, taking advantage. This is not the American way. I mean, would you, I mean, if you were sitting on that jury, and I mean, this guy said, well, I have the right under the common law. It's my property. I can charge what I want for it. That's water. And nobody should own water. I'm sorry. Nobody should own water. You can own the land around the water, but if somebody is thirsty and it's their life, they can kill you to get to that water under force majeure. That is a part of the common law, by the way, people. These are things you can't do in Texas, Paxton said. Well, yeah, well, people were doing it. They are significant. This shows, you know, that mammon rules this goddamn country. Mammon, mammon alone. That's their god. And I guarantee you a lot of these people doing this, good God-fearing folk, don't you know, members of the 501c3 Judeo-Christian Church, and that would send your children over to be slaughtered to give more wealth to the Jews over there. Anyone who does so can be hit with a $20,000 fine. But see, the only thing here is, what's wrong with this is that the state can't do it. You know, the individuals, and this shit wouldn't go on if we had the common law going. A $20,000 fine to be paid to the state, you know, for you doing these excessive things. You're going to have to pay the people and pay a fine. You see, this is how the state, you know, with their admiralty, gets in the middle of the commerce where they have no authority to be. They're supposed to be away from us when it's just, you know, a simple exchange of goods that we created. I'm guarantee you the guy who was selling the water for $99 for a case of water, he didn't go out and fill them water jugs. He went and he bought them for about, $5 for the whole case of, if that, $5 for a case of water. He was going to turn around and take advantage of people that were, you know, in a emergency situation. And that would not fly under the common law for the person who came up and put that comment forth. That person could just turn around and say, I'm suing you for what you stole from me because you were coercing me on something, a necessity of life. And under force majeure, I could have took that goddamn water from you if I needed it to stay alive. And you had water and if you want to live, you're going to give me this. You think so? That would never fly. As for, there will be a shortage of goods. Paxton said the big retailers are in the process of reestablishing supply lines as quickly as they can. I don't think as large as our country is, as large as Texas is, that supply is ultimately going to be that big of an issue. And you know, man, if we were Americans like we were supposed to be Americans, there would just be regular folk going down there with water trucks full of drinkable water. I mean, we'd be helping each other out with, not expectations, you know, pay for my gas to get down there. I'm going to help these people. They're my people. But no, when you enter in that goddamn evil dollar into the equation and then that capitalism, it gets ugly real quick. But that's, you know, another thing that they cling to. I mean, I know that Mark Carnegie and Donald Boettcher, they're big fans. They're flaming capitalists. They proclaim it all the time. But capitalism is not what we were guaranteed in this country. We were guaranteed free enterprise, and there is a major difference in the two. Capitalism is usury. The very thing that, you know, that the Jews were supposedly, you know, put aside because, you know, the usury. Nobody wants to be a user. It used to be something looked down upon. Now, man, to screw your neighbor, boy, that's the ultimate coup. How much can you steal from your neighbor? Boy, man, you got him good, didn't you? Man, I admire you. Hurricane Harvey was the most powerful hurricane to strike Texas in more than 50 years when it came ashore on Friday near Corpus Christi. Now a tropical storm, Harvey is expected to remain over the state's Gulf Coast for the next few days, dropping a year's worth of rain in about a week, with threats of flooding extending into neighborhoods in Louisiana. And it, you know, I mean, again, I look at this hurricane and, man, it's just sitting there. Have you ever seen one do that before except for Sandy? Remember Hurricane Sandy? That's when we first started talking about, you know, through HARP, stirring a hurricane. I mean, it was the most unnatural thing you ever saw in your life. I mean, what weather system do you see that just stalls? Come on, I mean, especially a hurricane. And I mean, when they're tracking it, like when they were tracking it through the Gulf, I mean, when they were way back there, any other time I've ever watched them tracking a hurricane, there was like, it could go here. It could go here. It could cut off and go right towards Florida. No, this one here, they were saying, it's going right there to Corpus Christi. It's going to hit right there, man. They were so goddamn sure. How could they be so sure about that? Something as unpredictable as the weather. Go ahead, brother.
You know, what they're doing is, some of the videos, I think Mary put up a couple. If you watch them, what they're doing is, they got these microwaves all around Houston. They just... they just turn the dial, turn the heat up on them, and pulse them, and it sends up heat, and it makes water vapor, and that's what's keeping that thing there. They just pulse the hell out of these locations and just generate their own storm.
I mean, before Sandy, had you ever seen a hurricane that just set somewhere? I mean,
that's what they're doing. They're making it sit there by pulsing these locations. That's how they're making it sit there.
I wonder why they do that, Mark.
Shit. Well, we both know the answer to that.
We've already seen it.
Greed, you know.
Of course it's greed. And, you know, I've seen some comments. I've been watching the comments on all this, and they're talking about the fact that I think it was, I can't remember the hurricane they were bringing up, Andrew maybe, but how the illegals are going to just pour in to do these, you know, to do the reconstruction. A handful of contractors is going to make frickin' mint. The goddamn banks are going to make frickin' mint handling all that money coming in and out of there. And the lawyers, they're going to make frickin' mint, and you and I are going to pay for it all, brother.
Yeah, because, you know, naturally, if you leave everything alone, the jet stream would push that thing right the hell out of there. That thing should have been gone naturally within 12, 13, 14 hours. It's been freaking 2 days, man. It's obvious what the hell's going on.
And it's going to be there until Thursday. I have never seen a hurricane. I mean, you see the hurricane, they talk, and you'll see the guy with his hair blowing and his coat blowing. And then the eye of the storm, he's standing there, and then... And then the storm ripped through here, and it did this. Not until Sandy. Sandy did this, too. I mean, it wasn't that big. A Category 2? Category 1, even. But it came in there, and it just sat there and dumped water and dumped water and dumped water and didn't move. It's like the jet stream just stalled all of a sudden. And it dumped and dumped and dumped and flooded and flooded and flooded, just like what's happening at Houston. And I do believe they're driving this, and I believe the number one motivator is of the glut of oil, of gas and diesel that they have in storage. They can't sell it. They got it now, you know, even with them selling the glut of gasoline and diesel, a glut of crude has to be building on the back of it, doesn't it? They didn't stop producing that, did they? But then, you know, this is just for them to make another move so that they can keep on taking the wealth from the people who work, the producers, and piling up with the goddamn parasites. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to – this thing about this guy that you were talking about that says, he thinks Texas is big enough to, deal with any freight issues or supplies. That's a bunch of bullshit. You got to – trucks cannot get into Houston or out of Houston. I mean, look at the goddamn roads or lakes right now. There's no way to get in or out. The only thing they can do is supply the distribution centers on the outskirts where there's no problems and just pray they can get it in somehow. But they're not getting semis in there, so I don't know what the hell he's talking about. There's going to be a huge problem.
Well, I got to believe that, you know, it being on the Gulf of Mexico, that, you know, on the edge of where all this stuff is, the rainwater meets the ocean, that there's boats. And why aren't there a fleet of boats coming up those highways? I mean, there's enough goddamn water for them to, and they could be hauling the supplies in. That's one thing I agree with Mark when he's talking yesterday is that, you know, they're not too, this is so blatant on his face. They want it to be disastrous. The worse it is, the more money these contractors get to pile up, the more cheap labor they get to, or this goddamn foreign labor they get to bring in to get so they can make bigger piles of money that we're going to pay out here. I'm sitting here sucking smoke. And I got it. And there's nobody, you know, gives a shit about that. I mean, I guarantee you this is going to kill people here where I'm at. You ought to see the goddamn smoke here today. It's unbelievable. And it's going to kill old people and stuff. But, you know, we all got to be out there working. We got to take care of the disaster, you know, over there in Texas. And like I said, if we were prosperous like we should be, if we had access to our resources and we were operating under the law like we're supposed to, we would all have a plenty. Something like this happened. I mean, the people just, there wouldn't be no Homeland Security bullshit or anything. It's to be private people with their private resources going down to help their people. And I guarantee you it'd be efficient because each person would be doing it as efficiently as they could because they'd want to help as many people as they could because it would be a genuine want to help, not contracts. How much can I steal? If I could steal 95 cents of every dollar, that means the person I'm supposed to be helping is only going to get 5 cents. And that's, you know, that's pretty much the going rate around these days. The historic flooding in Houston will likely worsen as federal agencies release water from overflowing reservoirs to keep it from jumping dams and surging uncontrollably into the homes they protect, officials said. And they're protecting the rich people. I mean, if they're protecting the rich people's homes, the one I'm seeing, I mean, I want to see these goddamn homes. Because the ones I'm seeing that are getting, you know, wasted by this water, these are millions. I mean, I think Charlie came up and said like $4 million homes, and I believe it. These are mansions, man. This is where all the wealth is at that we don't have. All us people out here working our asses off, I mean, actually producing shit. You got to wonder how many of them are communist, goddamn parasitic government employees. Thousands were fleeing Harvey. This Texas hotel started nearly tripling room prices. This is from Star Telegram, sent in by Mark Schumacher for a discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. When they checked rates online as Hurricane Harvey was strengthening and about to make landfall in Texas, a room with two queen beds was between $120 and $149. I cannot believe $120 and $149. That's an outrage, you know, for the regular price. I mean, I could never afford to go to a motel. But when a KXAN TV crew from Austin showed up on Saturday to get a room at that same hotel, at Robstown, Texas, Best Western Plus, 20 miles from Corpus Christi, the clerk at the front desk quoted a price nearly triple what the crew had seen online, a staggering $321.80. No, that's not unreasonable, people. $321.89. I mean, if there was an eclipse now and people were just going there for their enjoyment and you wanted to charge that, if you could get the market to bear it, there would be nothing wrong with it.
That's what they call it, Robstown.
Is that right? That robbed? I guess so, huh? That makes sense. They're going to rob your ass if you go to that town. A night, according to KXAN, the TV crew cried foul and pushed back against the price. Eventually, the Kirk admitted that the room rates were much higher than usual. Weekends started $149. Sometimes we started $189, the clerk told KXAN. And this, when they do, they, you know, the prices, like around here, I know that during that eclipse, I don't ever get to go to motels, but there, the people I heard, you know, that were going to motels, like a $50 motel, what was regularly a $50 motel was like $120. And this is during the week, you know, and it's, I guess, if the market will bear it, if it's for something like this, you know, where it's not, it's a totally different trip than if it's, if you're talking about an emergency like a flood, people fleeing a flood. I mean, the market will bear it, and then you can charge it. And you don't have to let nobody on there because it's not a force majeure situation. It's just, you know, they're doing it for their enjoyment. But when you're talking about something like a flood like this where people's lives are on the line and you do something like this, man, I'll tell you, they ought to jack up the jail and put you underneath the son of a bitch to the point they have to pipe air to you. But why is it so much? KXAN reporter Wes Rappaport asked of the $321.89 charge. Because people are calling to take rooms, the clerk said. And what the hell does, I mean, when I read that the first time, I go, so what the hell does that mean? So people are calling to take rooms, so people want rooms, and people need them because they're fleeing a disaster. So you're going to take advantage. You're going to be a good capitalist. You're going to capitalize on a goddamn miserable life and death situation. This is the kind of person that would sell that glass of water for a bar of gold. You want the water, you give me the gold. I mean, but, you know, again, it enters into the realm of force majeure. Because people are calling to take rooms, the clerk said, adding that we need to, inaudible, something was said, the price. I don't have any control on the price. Well, somebody has control on the price because you sure as hell jacked it up. The next morning, the TV crew again confronted a hotel clerk. They got a clerk to confirm that the room rates were normally $119 a night, but they still couldn't get an explanation for why rates had skyrocketed. Well, I think the explanation is pretty self-evident, isn't it? It's not that I'm jacking up the price. It isn't. It's not that I'm jacking up the price. It's because I have no control over that, the clerk said. And the clerk also confirmed that 18 other hotel guests paid the much higher rate of $289 before tax, just like the TV crew. While interviewing Attorney General Paxton on Sunday, the KXAN-TV crew handed over the invoice the hotel had given them, which Paxton had his office start looking into. And if it hadn't been a TV crew, how many people got raked? If it had been a TV crew, they'd have got away with it. We had a team go out and immediately, and we found out there was some truth to the claim. What's some truth? It either was true or I love the way they cover this shit. There was some truth to it. What did they do it or not? If they did do it, then it's all truth. If they didn't do it, then it's no truth. If they did it half that, if they charged half of that 321, then it would be a half truth. Then there wouldn't be a whole truth. But it sounds to me like a whole truth, and the Attorney General is trying to cover up for Best Western because they're a pretty big outfit, man. Oh.
Yeah, Henry, these hotels, you know, one of the big ones is Choice Hotels. They own Comfort Inn, Comfort Suites, Sleep Inn, you know, you've seen all those. And their revenue in 2016 was $924 million.
I guess
so
they would.
That net income was $139.4 mil.
I guess they would have.
So, it's all about greed, man.
I guess they'd have a little pull with the Attorney General then, because I know the Attorney General in this state, he's very corporate friendly. Anyways, guys, we've made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, stay tuned for It's Time to Break Free with David Rock coming up right behind us. And that is The Word from the Trenches.
Bye.